It's a residency at the House of M's.
This is Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson.
This lady burst onto the music scene as a teenager in the mid-90s with her band Killing Heidi, but she certainly hasn't just got one string to a bow. She has her own podcast that's called Front and Centre, and, of course, she has Triple M 90s right here on this network. I talk, of course, of Ella Hooper. Welcome to the show, Ella.
Thanks, Gleeso. My radio brother. We're a bit similar, actually, or I would like to think we are.
Well, I obviously, I've got a few years on you. That's one thing. But let's just talk about when it all happened for you as a very young girl, still high school.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, I always knew I wanted to be a musician. I always knew. I was like, yeah, well, there's only one thing for me and I'm going to get to it as soon as bloody possible. But even I didn't expect it to happen so young or so quickly, you know. Yeah, I think you said we formed in like 1996. We put our first song out and, you know, Triple J picked it up at the time. And 4 years later, we were recording Weir and Mascara and releasing Reflector. And it was just nuts. I think I was still like 15, 16 when that came out. So it was crazy.
Yeah, well, I bet it was. And I mean, we got to meet you as a young band. And hopefully you didn't pick up any bad habits from the Screaming Jets when we went up to Airlie Beach.
Well, leave me
out of this.
Hey, it's the School of Rock and you're a great teacher.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, you're back on the road, as a lot of bands are. How are you finding it?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, it's such an honour to still be able to go out and rock to big festival crowds, especially, and, you know, a sizable chunk of punters every weekend for the next, you know, foreseeable future, the tour that just goes on and on and on and on, and all the rebooked shows of 2020 and 2021 now being served up to us on a platter in 2022. And it feels amazing. Like, we took a big, big break from being a band because we sort of went hard and fast and did everything we sort of thought we could do and called it quits in, like, I think it was 2006, and had 10 years away from it, 10 years off doing other things, and then came back in 2017-ish and have been loving it ever since.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that time, I mean, as you say, it was a whirlwind for those first 10 years of, you know, being, you know, coming from the background, a small town girl with yourself and Jesse had been, you know, playing together for years. But that 10 years must have really taken a bit of a toll.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a strange time. We didn't really know what we were doing. And, you know, the sort of the pop rock and roll game is so tricky, and especially when you're young and you haven't done anything else. I was like, not sure if I want to do it, not sure if I want to study, can I do anything else? Turns out, no, I can't. Turns out I'm a shit barista. So for the good people of Melbourne to be safe, I had to get back into music and get back on the road.
And I mean, the pandemic, as you were saying, we were on a tour in 2020, and for 2 years, everyone was shut down. The mental health aspect, I think, because people see us up on stage, we're having a brilliant time, we're enjoying ourselves, they're yelling, we love you, we're saying, you know, how much we love it. But you certainly do get a lot of time in your own head, don't you, to be wondering and thinking about things.
Absolutely. This is the weird thing about our job. It's very, very public, and then it's very, very private. Like, creativity comes from a private place usually before you go and share it with a band or before you go and share it with a crowd. We do tend to be the overthinking type. We can even be the overfeeling type. So musicians, as far as I know, myself included, we're feeling all kinds of dodgy. You know, it's been a really hard time on the emotions and on the ego and on the hip pocket and on the sense of self and the sense of direction. You know, we're pretty simple creatures. We need to write music and play music. Now, all we had was write music, no play music. The cycle was broken and it felt really intensely discombobulating is an understatement.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I mean, look, to say the ego part of it, it is a part of our job, that part of the thing that drives us and is integral to us enjoying the experience is getting that love back from the fans, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it really is. And it's the part that makes, I mean, you can call it ego or you can call it, yeah, like connection. Because, and also ego is not a dirty word, as Skyhook sung, because it makes an entertainer have the balls to entertain. It makes an entertainer be the clown that other people can look at. And, you know, all throughout history, we've needed those figures and those characters to sort of put our psychodramas on and pin our hopes and dreams on and see it play out on stage in all kinds of ways, shapes and forms. But rock, you know, rock performance is just another version of that, a really good version because it has awesome songs attached. But when we can't do that and when the crowd can't get that, we all sort of suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you find anything that you could do apart from being a barista over the last 2 years? Did you find any other creative outlets?
Well, thank God I did. I worked on my guitar skills.
So right, great.
It was still music, still bloody music, and made a whole new solo record. So I've got an Ella Hooper sort of folky country solo thing on the go, which I'm trying to finish up now and maybe release later on this year. And that's what I did in the pandemic. I sort of made sad acoustic guitar music.
Yeah, we have probably something in common there because, I mean, I loved Paulie Wozzine's songwriting and I love the chemistry we get when we're writing rock music. But when I'm on my own, I feel I can be much more free and open and honest when I'm writing more country-style, bluesy, folky songs.
I know. There's just something about it. Like it really draws it out of you, doesn't it? It just sort of, you know, you start playing those chords and start finger picking that stuff and all of a sudden you're sort of spilling your guts on the page.
Yeah.
There's no bandmates there to judge you and be like, oh, come on.
Come on, it's a bit soppy, mate.
Yeah, it's a bit soft.
Now, being back on the road as we are, and for anyone who doesn't know, myself and Ella, the Angels and the Killing Heidi are on the Red Hot Summer Unfinished Business Tour that got called off in 2020 and is finishing here in 2022 with Hunters and Collectors and James Rain and The Living End and The Baby Animals. Tell people what it's like now, the difference between getting backstage in the pre-pandemic and what it's like now.
Oh, my God. It's chalk and cheese. I mean, I'm so glad that in our touring party, like we've all been doing so well, like no one's gotten COVID in our gang anyway. And, you know, there is a reason for the new kind of backstage, but the new backstage is so stiff and so different. So what's that word for it? You know, like I'm not trying to diss. Sterile. It's super sterile. Like even it's germ, you know, we have to not touch things, not touch each other, not share things, not line up in the same places. So all that backstage camaraderie has really taken a hit. You know, we even had our separate toilets the other day, didn't we? Like, one Portaloo with Killing Heidi written on it, one Portaloo with the Angels on it, another one for James Rain. I was like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah. And then of course, when, as we leave, they change those toilets over to someone else, you know that. Don't...
So what's it all for? Look, I didn't hate that. Got to say, being like one of the only girls on tour, I didn't hate that.
Yeah, sure. But you know, the great thing is we are back and looking forward to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I can feel it coming, and I can feel like this is a weird teething period where we're still a bit restricted backstage and stuff. But I can sort of see that ending a bit too, and you know, maybe we can sneak out after the shows and after we leave our lovely festival brethren, yes, and we can hang out anyway.
We've still got plenty of time to work on our end of tour party. There's another 5 or 6 weeks to go. So
I love it.
Unreal.
Love it.
Well, Ella, great to talk to you as always, and I'll be seeing you on the weekend.
See you like tomorrow, yeah, or the next day. Back to work.